Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hey, God is so good, hey? God is moving in our church. Faith is rising. Breakthrough is coming. We're starting to hear those testimonies, you know. Just last Sunday, that conference Sunday, turning around and seeing the theater at the convention center almost full, like almost completely full, praise God. But I just believe that's just a glimpse, amen, of what we're called to. We're called to see nations come to His light. So Isaiah 60, that's what this church was named after. That's your homework for this week. Go and read Isaiah 60. Partner with what God has called this church to, amen. But I love what the church is doing. Can you feel it? I can feel it. I guess I'm a real intuitive leader, so I feel stuff. I'm a feeler. But there's a stirring. There's a stirring. There's things that we used to tolerate that we're now standing in faith to see broken, right? You know, God is preparing us to run. And you can't run when you're weighed down, right? And I just believe as He clears the way, as He lifts this stuff off us, we're going to rise in His call like never before. So this second half of the year, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I got my jacket on today because I'm here to do business. We got some assignments with God to do. But hear me, don't stop believing. You know, Deb kind of stole half my sermon just before. Don't stop believing. You know, some of you have fasted, you've prayed, you've declared the promise, but the breakthrough hasn't come yet. Don't stop believing. Day 7 is coming. You'll know what that means in a moment. Day 7 is on the way. You see, Joshua chapter 6, that's our text today. And I'm going to give you a snapshot instead of reading it all up front. Don't worry. I promise I won't make anything up. I won't twist any verses. I'll make reference to specific verses. As we go, we're still exegeting the word, okay? I'm just wary of your time. I'm doing this for you, okay? So here it is, Joshua chapter 6. As a whole, it says, God gives Israel the most unconventional battle plan ever. Walk in silence for 6 days, blow trumpets, do that all over again on the seventh day, plus do it 7 times, and then shout. And the walls of Jericho will fall. And so they obey, and the walls fall, and they charge in to victory. That's Joshua 6. That's our text for today. Let's pray. Jesus, would we take cities in your name? Would we see the Jerichos in our lives crumble? God, where sickness or defeat, unbelief, addiction, pain, whatever it may be, has held us, would their walls crumble in Jesus' name? Would we fully possess the promises you have for us of freedom, of healing, of reconciliation, of purpose, of your mighty presence working in us and through us, all over us? Have your way today, God. You preach to us, Lord, today. You transform us. You mobilize us in your kingdom call. We pray, yeah, God, I pray for a mobilization of the saints. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Shankar. You know, the message today is titled, Don't Stop Believing. Hold on to that feeling. Streetlights, people, whoa. More than this being a journey song, I believe this is our declaration in this season, in this day and hour. You know, we've had testimonies of breakthrough coming in, cancer shrinking, freedom's been ministered. We're starting to believe again or to believe deeper, but don't stop believing, amen, because God is fighting for us. Pastor Darlene, she declared that on the Sunday. God is fighting for us. Push him back. I'll just do it myself. That's okay. In the name of, and she was, and I was like, yes, God is fighting for us. This is how we praise God. And I want to tell you, we're pushing back the darkness, amen. We're lighting up a kingdom that cannot be shaken, amen. And God wants to speak to us through this text today in Joshua chapter 6, where we see a wilderness people, ex-slaves, take down an absolute fortress, a stronghold, not with swords, but they won it by faith, by obedience, and with a shout. And so let's learn from their journey today, because if you want to walk in victory, number one, you need to go to war. You need to go to war. Joshua chapter 6 in verse 3, it says, march around the city once with all the armed men, do this for 6 days. You see, I always thought everyone went around the wall. I always thought it was all the Israelites. But actually, it's not everyone went. Only the willing. Only those who opted in and chose to be men of war. Wow. You see, it wasn't all the people. Deuteronomy and Numbers, they tell us that the commands for the Israelites was if you're over 20 years old, you should be in the army unless you're engaged to be married. Anyone engaged here? Congrats, yeah, woo! Let's go. Engaged to be married. I'm still not going to let you guys off the hook there. You got to go to war. If you haven't yet dedicated your house or harvested the fruit from a vineyard yet, that didn't apply to anyone because they were all living in tents. They were nomadic. Nobody had a house. Or if you're scared and don't trust God. Those were the three reasons you could not be in the army. So this wasn't a professional military. It was those who believed that opted in, that said yes to acting in obedience and faith. You see, your victory can only come if you decide to go to war. If you decide to believe and obey God, to go up against your Jericho. You know, there's some victories that our church is called to claim in families, in this city, in the nations that cannot be won if you sit out. There's some breakthroughs that you will never see in your life if you aren't prepared to go to war. You have to decide, we're going to war. That I'm not accepting the wilderness in my finances anymore. I'm not accepting the wilderness in the relationships with my family anymore, in the sickness that keeps robbing me anymore, in the fact that society is confused and needs the church to be the voice of truth. I'm going to war. I'm going to war. Decide to go to war, to stand up against Jericho and exercise your belief. Because you see, you can actually come in here, you can enjoy the atmosphere of victory without ever walking in the reality of it. The other Israelites, they were, yeah, we won, right? You'll be able to come in here and experience a great service, be encouraged by the testimonies, by the word of God, and see the church grow even, and just enjoy it. But some battles, the ones that God has called you to fight, the ones He has shaped you for, will never be won if you choose to sit out. But if you opt in, if you decide, I am going to war, I'm going to march with my faith, I'm not going to stop believing, I'm saying yes to the call, I'm staying in faith, then you will partake in the victory that Christ has for your life and for this church. Amen? We're called to go to war. We're called to go to war. If you thought we were calming down after conference, we're ramping up. We're ramping up. There is breakthrough for those available, but it's only for those who will say, man, I'm marching, I'm believing, I'm going to war. How many people do you know who got a breakthrough and just didn't do anything? They didn't stand in faith. They didn't go to war. I don't know any. If we're going to see these victories in our lives, we need to opt in. We need to choose to fight. We need to go to war. In verse 6 and 7, it says, Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance. Ooh, that's the word for the church today. Advance. March around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. Advance. What did advancing look like? It looked like walking. Just walking. Some more walking. Another day of walking. Who likes walking? I like walking. I like walking by the beach, walking in nice parks. I like walking with my wife. I don't love walking with my kids, but I like walking. Yeah, they walk for a bit and then like, can you carry me? I don't want to walk anymore. I'm like, dang, now I'm carrying and walking. That's not, I just came to walk, right? But they walked in silence for 6 days. No updates, no progress reports, no visible cracks in the wall, just walking. And so we're called to go to war, and secondly, we're called to just keep walking. Just keep walking. They did not know what was going to happen, how it was going to happen. They were told each day, walk. Walk. No word about how long they're doing it for or what the plan is. Just start walking. We're advancing. That's the strategy. Man, what has the Lord asked you to do? What promises has He given you? Maybe it doesn't sound like much. Maybe it sounds like walking. Maybe you're not seeing the results, but there is a call to keep walking in what He has said, even if you don't see anything happening. Right? Nowhere in this scripture, right, if you read it through, does He explain to the people exactly what's going to happen? Like Joshua himself at least has the full picture of the full instructions, but he doesn't even know how the city will actually fall. Like he's just trusting that when they've walked, it's done, and then they shout, somehow by God's hand it will fall. Like, do you understand the trust involved with that? We don't, because we already know the ending and we read this with hindsight, but like those two things don't add up. Like walking doesn't make stone crumble. right? Like, shouting doesn't make things crumble. And you guys, a lot of you know that. You've had arguments in your kitchens with your spouse, and the stone bench tops still look great. They didn't crumble because you were shouting, all right? Your marriage might be. You need to go see a counselor for that. That's another sermon. We're coming into wholeness later. They didn't know what was going to happen. They just walked. Oh, that messes with some of us. I need the full details. Where are we going? What time are we shouting? What's the plan exactly? I've just put a quail in the slow cooker. I mean, what's happening? I need to understand. Man, God is not going to give you all the details. He isn't going to give you the whole plan or the full picture because He wants you to put your trust in Him. Not in the details, not in the plan, but in Him. Some of you, you've made an idol out of planning. It's pulling you away from trusting Him. Planning isn't bad, but if it's to be in control or if it's because you don't trust, it's an idol because He is to be in control. Amen? I don't know ever of a time where God has mapped out the whole journey for someone. Because that requires no trust at all. Thank you, God. I'm going to go that way now. I'm going to navigate it all. No, okay, God, what do you have? Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a light to my path. It's a lamp for my feet. His word is a lamp. It's not a GPS. It doesn't give you the whole route. Oh, cool, we're going to be there in 35 minutes. And there's a bit of traffic there. Things will get a bit slow there. Oh, we got to go detour. No, His word is a lamp. It only shows the next couple of steps. And then as you take them, you see the next couple of steps. Because He's wanting us to trust Him. Amen. He is our guiding light. He rarely, if ever, gives the whole plan. He just gives the next step. Because He wants our trust in Him. And day 7 is coming. We got to stop waiting for clarity or another confirmation and just start walking in obedience. Because I'm just waiting for clarity. No, you want the whole picture because you don't trust what He's already said to you. That's a key to your breakthrough. Day 7 is coming. We've got to stay in faith. We've got to keep standing on His promise. Keep declaring His word because the moment you stop is the moment the enemy wins. This is a battle. It's not against flesh and blood. But it's a battle for your calling. It's for your healing. It's for your family. It's for your freedom. Don't stop. Don't settle. Day 7 is coming. And it's that trust and obedience that is gold currency in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. Go to war and just keep walking. Is this okay? Verse 13. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. We got to go to war. We just got to keep walking and we got to get on the horn. Get on the horn. All right. Real question, confessions in the last 10 days. Who's been on their horn? Who's beeped whilst driving in the last day? Think about it. Think about it. Yeah, put your hand up. You're all liars. Put your hand up. I've seen some of you out there. I've seen some of you in that car park. Some of you need to stop reverse parking. The reason everyone's late is because they're waiting for you to park, okay? Just go straight in. We need to get into church, okay? You hear me? But road rage is a thing. And I mean, some of you know how to use that horn. In Cambodia, it's a polite thing of like, hey, I'm just coming through, letting you know I'm here. In Perth, it's, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to break you. I'm going to smash your car. Get out of my way. You know, I was on the horn just last week. I picked up Pastor Sam Monk. I was bringing him to church for a session with our exec, and we were driving over the Narrows. And as we were just minding our own business, talking about the goodness of God, you know, all those kind of things, suddenly on my left and on my right, these two cars just started indicating in, like both of them at the same time to where I was driving. I felt like the Egyptians when they were trying to chase the Israelites in the Red Sea and it began to close. And so I got on the horn and we cried out to Jesus and Sam and I, we grabbed each other and we said, ah, hold the line, you know. Just grabbed him. He was like, what are you doing, you know. And we got through. We got through. Praise God. But I had to get on the horn and get there. Get to it. Well, I had to let the people know, hey, we're driving here. Well, get out of my way. We're driving. Get on the horn. Sound the trumpet. I may have dramatized that story a little bit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about when Christ returns, the trumpet will sound. It's a sound of victory. In Revelations 8, it pronounces the sound, the trumpet sound to pronounce the coming of the kingdom and divine judgment. The trumpet is a sound of victory. The trumpet is a sound of victory. But when did they sound the trumpets? Before the victory. in faith. The Lord is asking us to have a faith that blows the trumpet of victory before we've seen it, before our family comes back to God, before we've seen the healing take place, before the restoration is complete, before the provision comes in. What are you declaring? What are you trumpeting over your Jericho? Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Jesus says, tell the mountain to be thrown into the sea and believe that what you say will happen and it will be done for you. Tell it. What are you saying about your Jericho? That it's gigantic and you're just a little grasshopper? Are you sounding the trumpet of victory or a little violin of victimhood? Woe is me. You know, Pastor Sam and I were driving, I guess this is it. The clouds are coming. We had a good run, Pastor Sam. We thought we would have made it to conference, but this is it. Nothing we can do, you know? Was it a horn of triumph or a groan of defeat? Dang, we died, you know? I was on the horn! Get out of the way! We got to get to church! What are you saying about your Jericho? You need to get on the horn. Your words matter. Speak faith. Speak healing. Speak breakthrough. Yes, you can admit the facts, but God is working, but I'm believing for this, but God has promised me, so I'm going to war, I'm going to keep walking, and I'm going to sound this trumpet of victory over my family, over my life. If God is for us, who can be against us? Like, whose side are we on? Is he that is in us not greater than he that is in the world? Does the word not say that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you and me? God, help us with our unbelief, Lord. Get on the horn. It's your precursor to your victory. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, not mumble so, not complain so, say so. And you'll see in this text that the people shouted when the walls fell, but it was in a faith response to the sound of the trumpet. Your declaration, your faith, what you're speaking out is going to lift the faith of others. It's going to help others believe for their breakthrough. And when we start to collectively rise in faith, oh, watch out, enemy, because we're becoming an army that's going to war, that's going to keep on walking, that's declaring victory over every need, every struggle, every promise. We got to go to war, keep walking, and we're going to get on the horn. All right, you have permission to get on the horn in that car park when they start reverse park. No, I'm kidding. Verse 10, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. Wow. Point number four, know when to shout. The Lord gave me this point. I said, what does this mean? And as he began to speak, you see, Joshua had a word from God. He had instructions that needed to be obeyed that led to victory. And the shout had a timing. You see, sometimes we just want the shout straight away without the walk. Like the outcome without the obedience. We just want to, oh, yeah, that's the promise. Okay, yeah, let's have it. What, you know, like the breakthrough without the trust. And what God forms in you during the walk is often greater than the victory itself. You see, like a divine financial provision, like money comes out of somewhere. That's great. Praise God. But him growing a conviction in us that he's our provider. And so I can live obedient and open-handed. I don't have to worry about having enough, which then just unlocks me to go fully in my calling. Whatever God says, I can jump in. And that's going to yield greater fruit. That's a greater victory than just getting a little financial miracle. See what I'm saying? We want the breakthrough, and so does the Lord, but he also wants our heart, and he wants to mature us. He's thinking about our eternity. And so I deeply believe in the suddenlies of God. God will come and move like that. But I found that most breakthroughs happen suddenly, but there's been an eventually in the lead up. God doesn't want hype faith. He wants enduring faith. Faith that lasts beyond a conference, beyond emotion, beyond that first no, when you've pressed in and God, do it. And it hasn't happened yet. You're praying and you're seeking God for your spouse and you're praying and then you're trusting and there's this journey of you interceding and going to war and then suddenly an encounter happens and they're forever changed, right? Or man, I'm not really passionate or excited to serve and play my part or I don't really know what I'm called to, but maybe you then begin to serve in the kids ministry out of obedience and then suddenly something just cracks open and you come alive in the call to minister to kids. You know, or you're believing for a miracle. Maybe it's a healing and you're not seeing it, but you keep on petitioning. You keep declaring the promise in faith. You keep on responding to altar calls. And suddenly there's a moment where, bam, you're completely healed. You see, we're seeing layer by layer of healing with a young woman battling severe cancer. But I felt the Lord say to her the last time we were praying, we've seen some really cool miracles. She was in the wheelchair and suddenly her legs just went up. And we're like, are you doing that? And she said, no, I'm not. Like, and God is healing, God is working. But I felt the Lord say to her, you need to be ready. Because when I suddenly heal you, you need to be ready to testify, to share the gospel. Because there's going to be windows of opportunity with medical professionals, with family. You need to give me all the glory and use this opportunity to lead people to Christ. Because the greatest miracle is salvation. It's not the healing of our perishing bodies. It's salvation. It's that people would know Him. You know, I'm speaking about healing a fair bit because this is the journey the Lord's taking me on. God's been stirring me again in healing. I've had it prophesied over me. I've seen miracles as a young adult, but I stopped walking in it until recently. And I'm stepping back in. Even though I haven't seen it all yet, I'm full of faith. Like a couple of weeks ago, I prayed for someone blind and I'm looking at their pupils, waiting for them to open up. Like, and I'm still waiting, I'm still believing, but I am full of faith. Man, I'm praying for people wearing glasses. So if you don't want me to pray for you, just stay away from me, avoid me. Because I'm like, I'll stand with you. I'm full of faith, I will stand with you. But I haven't seen it yet. I'm seeing glimpses, but I'm still believing. And in my immaturity, God, who's been wanting to work through me forever in this, I'm finally there and I'm just expecting it all start happening, you know? Yeah, I'll pray. But the Lord is saying, let me father you through this. Firstly, Shannon, I heal, not you. I don't want you getting a big head and feeding your identity off of this, okay? Secondly, I want you to take the whole church on the journey too. Don't run off and try to be the hero. Okay, I got it. Thirdly, healing and victory for the person is the goal, not you doing it or your achievement. So it doesn't matter if you're the one that prays or someone else does, right? He's fathering me through this because as much as he wants to heal, he doesn't want to create a train wreck along the way. You see, we want to walk for 10 minutes and then just want to shout and there's the breakthrough. You know, and yes, sometimes it happens quick and fast, but there is always a suddenly. But what's the eventually that the Lord is calling us on? To trust Him, to obey. You know, we pray once and nothing happens, so we give up. We go to counseling two times and expect our whole marriage to be restored. Wow. We share the gospel once and they don't get saved, so I guess they just won't. Yeah? We want to shout right off the bat, but God is doing a work in us too, as well as through us. He isn't looking for a momentary faith, a hype faith, a conference-only faith, but an enduring faith. When Peter walks on water, but then he sinks, Jesus says, you have little faith. Jesus wasn't being mean. He wasn't saying you had a small amount of faith, but you only had faith for a short time. It was little in sense of time. It was a short faith. He didn't believe for long. Us, we've stepped out. Now we got to keep our eyes on Jesus and don't stop believing because it is time to step out of the boat. It's time to step out of the boat. That looks like refusing to tolerate what you've always tolerated. Maybe it's dysfunction. It's the way you think. Maybe it's compromise, fear, anxiety. I don't know what it is. I pray that God will show you this is your Jericho. This is your Jericho. But I want an enduring faith from you because it looks like taking God at His word. He says you are healed. You are called. You are chosen. And so even if you feel like you're stumbling forwards awkwardly, just go. Slip, slide, bounce, whatever, but move in faith. Amen? Is this okay? Getting sweaty. Verse 18. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. Number 5. Stay away from the devoted things. See, victory is delayed when disobedience creeps in. What has God asked you to lay down in this season? Don't pick it up again. Don't get lured back in by the shiny distractions. Any parents got kids a big fan of Moana? I'm not endorsing anything. But there's this crab that's stuck in a hole. And it sings this song, so shiny. Like it's got all this bling and it's just trying to collect all these treasures. But it's stuck in a hole. Like it's not actually out living and doing anything. It's just, oh, shiny. I've got all these shiny things. We can actually be a bit lured like that. Like lured by the things of the world. The enemy loves to throw half-price ice creams in your path just when you're about to run for God. Like, oh, I'm going for it, God. Or an opportunity to take on more work and impress my boss and get a little bonus? All right, let's do that. You know, all right, we're going in. Oh, honey, our new season just came out of our favorite show, Bebs. Come on, we got to watch it. This is our time together. Oh, man, I was really starting to turn to Jesus when I was getting stressed and stuff, but now I'm just going to go back to the treats cupboard in my house. You know, we can store up treasures where moth and rust destroy, or you can store up treasures in heaven. You can be lured by kingdom or by worldly pleasures. Don't trade the spiritual momentum, the fueling of your faith, for temporary sweetness. Worship team, why don't you guys come join me? You know, as I land this thing, at the very start, in verses 1 to 2, it paints the picture. It says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord says to Joshua, 'See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men.'" It's securely barred up. They've gone like level 10 lockdown security measures. They're getting that little, you got that little authenticator thing going off every 10 minutes to get into Teams. Like it's nobody's getting in. It's secured. And God says, "See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands." Are we looking at the same thing? This epic fortress is expecting us. They're on high alert. They're fully barred up. And you say, "See, it's yours." I can't see it. I can't see the breakthrough. But at your word, Lord, I'm going to start walking. I'm going to believe. You said it, so I believe it. I don't see it, but you said it, so I believe it. That's faith. Jesus says to Thomas, "You believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen." Our believing is a blessing to us. Could it be that this little couple of verses I just read is a deep encouragement for us, that at the point where doors seem to be so closed off, the heart of your lost hubby is so hardened to the idea of coming to church, you just got told your condition is actually declining, the financial report looks negative, could it be that it's a last ditch attempt of the enemy to try to urge us to back off, to stop believing, to please go back to the wilderness? Don't take the promise, because we're on the edge of victory. That's what happened to Paul. He was on his way to shut down, lock up, and even stone some Christians. And then bam, Jesus breaks through and changes his life forever. That looked bad. That looked like the last point he was going to turn to Jesus. Moses and the Israelites, they're believing for freedom. The Pharaohs finally let them go, and then they hit a dead end. They're trapped at the Red Sea with an army coming to massacre them. That looks bad, but then God makes a way. Jesus himself, the crowds are saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." It's looking like things are really ramping up, and then he dies. That looks bad for the Jesus followers, but then he rises again and everything changes. Paul and Silas, they're in prison. They're beaten and chained up in the depth of the deepest, darkest parts of the prison. That looks bad. Yet they don't stop believing, and the prison shakes and the doors fling wide open, and a jailer and his family are radically saved. It might just look shut up. It may look its darkest, but day 7 is coming. Your breakthrough is on the other side in Jesus' name. I want to declare that over you today. Don't stop believing. Maybe you were at conference and you've come back and the peace that you were believing for in your home, it's not present, but things have actually flared up and seem worse than before. Is it a last-ditch attempt for the enemy to discourage you? Keep walking. Oh, another negative report just came in. Hey, keep walking. You're on the edge of the breakthrough. He says, "See, I've given Jericho in your hands." What do you see? Don't look in the natural. We got to look through the eyes of faith. We got to look through the lens of his promises, amen, and see the victory ahead. Don't stop believing. We're going to go to war. We're going to keep walking. We're going to get on the horn. We're going to know when to shout. We're going to stay away from the devoted things, because day 7 is coming, amen? This is a church of faith, amen? You know, I saw this picture, and it was actually what led to... The Lord downloaded this whole word to me. Praise God, I love it when it happens like that. But I saw this picture while I was praying, and I was on a springboard, like a diving board, about to jump in. You don't have to imagine what I was wearing. Orange, let's go red board shorts, okay? Sun was glistening, my muscles were quite big. It's not the point. I went to jump, and as I did, I just like slipped. and I like bounced on my bum, hit like the side and into the water. No grace, no flair, just in. And some of you, you feel like your leap of faith won't be pretty. It'll be awkward, it'll be messy, it'll be clunky, it doesn't matter. God says just jump. Stop toe dipping your faith. This city needs you all in. This church needs you all in. We gotta believe, we gotta jump into what God is saying and doing, and don't stop.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.